coming to you live from Raleigh, North Carolina, in the studios of the NFI Gospel Radio Network.
Hello, my friends. For the very best in spiritual and gospel music, catch the wave every Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. until 11 o'clock a.m. with your host, the old CCCB. We'll be hosting the morning show. So lock us in right here at the wave and catch the wave, huh? I'm the old Chatham County country boy.
There was a man.
Begin to stand to your feet right now and welcome back to our city, renewed of the Carolinas.
Every day that I wake up and I see the sunrise, gonna and give him praise for keeping me alive. Even though I don't have everything that I want, still gonna give him praise for the things I have and the things I she's singing now. Uncle Bobby, on Monday,
you blessed
yes,
me.
Yes, sir. Tuesday,
you kept me.
Wednesday,
gave me power.
Yes, Thursday,
took me higher.
Oh, Friday,
saved me.
Saturday,
forgave me.
Sunday,
I praised
thee. Oh, yeah. Oh, and I know.
And on Monday,
oh, yeah. It on solid ground. Thank you, Jesus, for blessing me. Oh yeah. Thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus, for blessing me.
You're listening to the
NHD2. Come on in, we've been expecting you. Catch the wave.
We're taking quartet music to another level. From 8 to 5, it's quartet music at its best. And from 5 to 8, it's contemporary Christian music here on the NFI.
Catch the wave on the NFI, coming to you live from Raleigh, North Carolina, in the studios of the NFI Gospel Network.
Gospel music at its best. Catch the wave at 8:30.
Thank you, Jesus.
Let your glory fill this place. Let your all-consuming fire fill this tabernacle and purify our hearts. Surround us in this place. Want you to breathe new life within us. Send a refreshing love, purify our hearts.
Nothing, nothing like serving the Lord.
I tried everything, but I couldn't find nothing. Nothing like serving the Lord. I've tried everything, but I couldn't find nothing like serving the Lord.
Serving the Lord.
nothing like serving the Lord.
Like serving the Lord.
Like serving the Lord.
Serving the
Thank you.
12 minutes after 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Good morning. You're catching the wave. I'm your host, the Anointed One. Again, my pleasure. Thank you so much for joining us. A little chilly here in the capital city, Raleigh, North Carolina, but hopefully we'll warm up a little later, okay? But in other words, make sure you know, wear your coat when you leave out today, all right? Look, don't want you to get a cold. All right, well, look, got a great program lined up for you today, and also, always, the Word of God coming your way this morning as well as this evening, and more gospel music and the power of prayer. Many of you know we need prayer today, right? We definitely need prayer. Look, want to send my love out to my hometown, Franklin, to North Carolina. Also, Creedmoor, Garner, Cary, Oxford, also Raleigh, North Carolina. And all of you that's listening around the world, come on in, join us. We've got more music. Let's get back with more of the very best in gospel music right here from the NFI Studios, Raleigh, North Carolina.
He's been good to me. May not have all my health and strength. May not be what I want to be. But he's been good to me. Somebody can say, I should have been dead. I should have been gone. I should have been sleeping in my grave. I had a sickness that should have took me out of here. But God let me live on and say, neighbors, you might not understand why I'm beside you right now. But neighbors, I'm alive today because God kept me. I'm here right now for all his grace. 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 And I can lift my hand and say, I should have been dead. Some folk didn't make it. Some people didn't make it. But thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
18 minutes after the hour, 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Let's turn it up just a little bit. I know that's right, huh? Good morning to you. You're catching the wave. Man Lee Williams and those spiritual QCs from Tupelo, Mississippi. We are right at the bottom of the hour, 8:30 a.m. All right, let's get back with more music. I'll be right back, right after our station ID.
And you caught it first on the wave.
Catch the wave on the NFI, coming to you live from Raleigh, North Carolina, in the studio of the NFI Gospel Network.
Catch the wave on the NFI.
One. Catch the wave on the NFI.
in a world where men don't believe. All the twisters and stabbers try to make it, and the devil is always busy trying to destroy and to deceive. Don't you know what God said to his people? To all of us who confess to believe that he's got the whole world in his hands, and prayer is the only way that he'll heal the land. If my people who are called by my name would just humble themselves and pray. He said, if my people who are called by themselves and pray. Oh, pray and believe that their words will be heard by me. Oh, pray, oh, and believe that their words will be heard. Oh,
Oh,
22 minutes before the hour, 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Let's go with the one and only. It's the late, great Mr. Robert Blair in those fantastic violinettes.
Y'all don't like that kind of singing here.
I'm so
Can I say it again? Danny? Y'all don't mind if I let Danny say that again, do you? Danny, say that one more time if you don't mind. Little shot. Here's a man been with me for a long time. Walk up to the mic, what? Since 1968, you've been with me. Boy, I want you to say it again. You got to say that one time for me.
spider's hot, and it feels like windows peek to the top. I wanna see my angel on my side. Man, it feels just like hell. Feels like hell. Feels like hell. Mike Jack went moonwalking, never came back. Prince met the king, Aaliyah sent Pope page back. A penny with Pac, you never get him. Paul Walker found it behind the pedal. And just like Nate Dogg, I'm pretty loud, let all my dogs go to heaven. Whether you working 9 to 5 or you trying to stay alive, home just sort of feels like hey. Homie in the pen, got no ink in his pen, one collect call feel like got a cap and gown or a bell in the gown. Mama hella proud, she's there a few more. They tryna sell you the cool, they tryna sell you these lies. They tryna sell you a song, I'm tryna sell you this guy. No, woo! Bottles pop and it feel like windows seat to the top. I wanna see my angels so much tight. Man, it feels just like feel like, feel like, feels like Muhammad Ali had a match made in heaven. David Bowie met the good Revan. I hear it's much nicer when Whitney Houston leads the choir. John Lennon in their white linen, James Dean in their white denim. And just like Molly Wayne's, I pray the six sitting on the six murder. Whether you get it from the good Lord or the drug Lord, everybody want that. Whether you get it from the bar or you're trying to raise the bar, everybody want a drink for that. Every great singer die before their time, or close their eyes while staring at their crime. The devil is a cop and the cop is a liar. I'll take the wings over chariots of fire. I'm nice to what?
No single space project in this period will be more impressive to mankind or more important, and none will be so difficult or expensive to accomplish.
Get involved. Your boarding pass is waiting at mission432.com.
Feel like Kelly.
It's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
From the block, willwe.com, and pray for open doors. Tell me if there's room for Jesus in the ghetto. Tell me if there's room for Jesus in the ghetto. Tell me if there's room in the ghetto. Tell me if there's room in the ghetto.
Jesus wasn't born in the suburbs. His pictures were altered, but it gets more awkward. Imagine living with the fact your daddy ain't your father. And gentrification got you living somewhere hotter. Mama look like you know. Daddy consider him broke. Carpenter wages are low. Used to see him blood in his oak. His gang are all chose, but they got to face the foes. If he showed them he was God, man, they wouldn't come close.
No. No, my prayer ain't yours.
No,
I come from the block, but we dodge cops and pray for on the door. Oh, tell me, is there room for Jesus in the ghetto? Tell me, is there room for Jesus in the ghetto? Tell me, is there room in the ghetto? Tell me, is there room in the ghetto? Oh, I need to know if there's room in the ghetto, room in the ghetto.
To the Baptist, I need to know if there's a place for me. So
somewhere in the ghetto.
When he gets back to Nazareth, he's Jesus from Egypt. Can't tell that boy nothing, he talk back to the teachers. He turn up with the fam, he turn order to wine. He turn over tables, super turnt, telling me why. Why the man been on his back, no cap since the newborn. He just trying to save his homie, Groupon. If they give their life for a homie, that's a true one. If he come back to life for a homie, that's a true bond.
No, my prayers on you.
Then you taking my part now. I'm from the plum where we got time and pray for open doors.
Anthony Hamilton, Jesus in the ghetto.
Church
Baptist. So many people losing faith right now.
Church people
in the ghetto.
2 minutes, 2 minutes before the top of the hour, 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. That's Anthony Hamilton and Sir Baptist. Here's your boy, huh? Many of you know him as. it's the Sound Change Fortune.
Somebody somewhere needs a breakthrough. Yeah. Somebody somewhere needs a breakthrough. Yeah. Somebody somewhere. Yeah. It's been a shame to talk to them, breaking, but now. get your work undone. Listen, he's coming in the cloud. It may be not a new children.
You better get ready.
Jesus
coming soon.
Listen, have y'all heard a new?
Jesus is coming soon.
Have y'all heard a new down here?
Jesus is coming soon.
A woman, have you heard the good news?
Church, Jesus is coming soon.
Y'all better get ready.
Get on up.
Get on up.
Oh, on your way, Saul. told to you what you must do for my sake and the gospel. Saul went on to town, couldn't see, but he went preaching, preaching the gospel. And these are the words he said. I'm not ashamed. Oh, no, 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 no. I'm not ashamed. Kept on saying it, you all. I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed.
I'm not ashamed
of the gospel of Jesus, of Jesus Christ. Oh Lord, it's God Almighty. After that, Saul, name was changed to Paul. He went on up to the masses to meet with the other apostles and all God's disciples. When he got there, Peter and them didn't know that Saul's name had been changed to Paul. They didn't know that he was born again, that he had been saved and baptized in the name of Jesus. He was filled with the Holy Ghost and began to preach Jesus' gospel. He was telling men and women everywhere he went, he was telling men and women that I'm not ashamed. He would stand up and tell everybody, I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed. I'll preach it in the synagogue. I'll preach it on the ships. Everywhere I go, I will preach it. I'm not ashamed now. Listen, friend, one day he called me to preach his word. A few minutes, I was a little bit ashamed of my girlfriend, but I found out girlfriend can't get me there. I had to lay all that aside and stand up and preach God's gospel. It is one thing to preach it, but it's another thing to live it. You got to preach it, preachers, then you got to live what you preach about. And I want the world to know that I've been saved and sanctified. And I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed today of the gospel. No, 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 no. Of Jesus, of Jesus Christ. Oh, Lord. Of Jesus, Jesus. Jesus Christ. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry, Merry Christmas. A Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. We wish you a Merry Christmas, everybody. We wish you a Merry Christmas. Oh yeah. We wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas and a let's sing and laugh together and
celebrate
the joy, it brings, while the children
and praying. Let us cherish this Christmas day. We wish you Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you Merry Christmas. A Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
This is Doc McKenzie wishing you and yours a Merry Christmas.
This is Rodney, and I want to wish you a Merry Christmas.
This is Daryl Henley, and I want to wish you a Merry Christmas.
This is Joe Turner. I wish each and every one of you a Merry Christmas.
But what I want the Lord to do is get up in me, Jesus. Get up in me, Jesus. And y'all ready to have a little second here? How many of you need? Yeah! Come on, come on, put your hands together. Come on.
Yeah.
My father used to sing every time he got ready to start a state meeting. Every time it was time for YPWW, he's the YPWW president for 39 years. He was an old president. But praise God. He said, hear the blessed Savior calling the oppressed. Oh, ye heavy laden. because he told me to come and bring them to him. And I came and I laid them at the altar.
The midst of my sound, there's no word to do. something here.
I made it.
Anybody here know that you made it by the grace of God?
I
made it. It wasn't your good works.
It
wasn't nothing that you done.
I made it.
But God's grace and mercy.
I made it.
Clap your arms and gave them.
I made it.
Maybe somebody been like me.
I made it.
The enemy fighting on every hand.
I made it.
But still you made it.
I made it.
Satan stumbling blocks in your way.
I made it.
But still you made it. Promise they will always be there. But oh, when I looked around, those same friends are gone. They lied on me. They talked about me. Caused me heartache. But still, I made it. I just want to tell my enemy, in spite of everything you throwed at me, I'm still here tonight. I've been lied on. Some of y'all been lied on too. But I made it through. I've been talked about. But I made it through. Oh, heartache. Pain in your heart sometimes. Lied on. But I made it. Sure enough talked about. But I made it. Fellas, y'all will help me say.
I had heartaches, but I made it. I've been lied on, but I made it.
Will it?
I've been talked about, but I made it.
Oh.
I had heartaches.
Anybody ever had heartaches?
But I made it.
Anybody ever been lied
on?
Maybe stay over here.
But I made it. I had heartaches.
But you made it through.
But I made it.
Anybody ever been lied on?
I've been lied on.
But you made it through.
But I made it.
Anybody over here ever been talked about?
I've been talking about.
I made it.
I made it.
I thank God tonight. I made it.
sound with tight acoustic bass. It's the NFI giving God the praise.
Welcome back to the broadcast. We're live from the NFI studios here in Raleigh, North Carolina, your number one quartet and contemporary Christian station in the world. And we want to thank you for joining To Beat the Odds, the number one talk show here on the NFI Radio Gospel Network. And this morning, do we have an awesome panel of men and women? Oh, my. We have several pastors as well as ministers that's going to be joining this morning on this serious topic. And they're going to be talking about it. I know the topic this morning, is there a Jezebel in the church? Again, this morning's topic, is there a Jezebel in the church? What is a Jezebel spirit? How can you detect? How can you see the signs of a Jezebel spirit? What signs to look for? How does the enemy attack an individual, that spirit attack them to have them to perform in that way with a Jezebel spirit? Well, these pastors are going to be coming forth this morning to share that information, and it's going to be coming straight from the Word of God, line upon line and precept upon precept. And don't forget what they share with you, all right? Thank you again. Hosting this morning's show is Evangelist Joni Tabletop. She's going to be with these awesome men and women of God, several pastors as well as ministers coming forth to share some great information for those of you may not even know what they're going to be discussing this morning. The topic this morning, is there a Jezebel spirit in the church? Is there a Jezebel spirit in the church? What is a Jezebel spirit? What signs to look for when there is a Jezebel spirit in the presence? Well, we know it's a spirit. It's not the individual. It is a spirit. And it began in the Word of God. And they're going to let you know. And they're going to talk about this topic this morning. It's going to be some great information for those of you. So pull up a seat as she come forth to bring forth this awesome panel of men and women of God. And now, let's join them right now on the NFI, Evangelist Joni Tabletop.
Well, she is perhaps one of the most infamous women in the Bible. Her legacy is one of treachery, scheming, and manipulation, a legacy that's still at work today. So we're unmasking the Jezebel spirit and helping you break free. Joining me today is Tanya Taylor.
Hello.
It's an interesting topic.
I can't wait.
I know.
It's going to be good.
Melanie Brondo, how are you?
Oh, wonderful. How are you?
Good, good. And Kendra Kelly Dean.
Yes, it's going to get deep.
I understand.
I feel it.
All right. And Cindy Murdoch, how are you?
I'm great. Thank
good.
You. Good to be here.
This is an interesting subject we're going to be talking about
today.
Oh,
my goodness.
Oh, my goodness. We all have stories. And our dear friend John Paul Jackson, welcome back to Table Talk.
Thank you.
Always so good to have you.
I love
and
being here.
You're always such a blessing. And, of course, I have read John Paul's book, Unmasking the Jezebel Spirit, and actually endorsed it several years ago. I really believe that it's an important message. Well, Jezebel, the infamous bloodthirsty wife of Ahab, did everything in her power to keep the truth of God from being heard. And we still see the Jezebel spirit at work today in relationships, business, friendships, public office, and yes, even the church. It is the spirit of manipulation, control, envy, lust, and greed, just to name a few. So for people today, and they're saying, I have never heard of the Jezebel spirit. Mm-hmm. What is it, and how can we recognize it?
Well, in a way, it's the antithesis of the spirit that John the Baptist had, which is the spirit of Elijah. Mm-hmm. And so Jezebel, there's a spirit that caused Jezebel to do what she did in the Old Testament. We read about Jezebel in 1 Kings, the 17th mm-hmm. chapter, around 17,
she was 18. Really bad in the Bible.
And her
she
husband,
was a horrible
they sold
woman.
Themselves to do evil. It was way more evil than a lot of people think. For example, she was the daughter of a Phoenician priest
right.
who was also a king. Mm-hmm. And in being a priest, they served the god Baal and made temples to Baal. In temples, they also made sacrifices of children to Molech.
Right.
And so she was involved in child sacrifices. And then when she caused Ahab agreed in marrying her to build a temple to Baal in Samaria, then that temple became a place of child sacrifice to Molech in the temple of Baal.
And this is all happening right within what should have been a holy place.
What should have been a holy place, exactly.
Well, now, when you say the Jezebel spirit and there was a person named Jezebel, I mean, are those two different things? Is this a demonic spirit that controls? I mean, where does it come from?
It is a demonic spirit, but it starts with a mindset or a mental stronghold. And Paul tells us to cast down these mental strongholds that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. And so it starts with mental strongholds that skews the perspective of what this person believes God is saying and God is doing. So it makes them, and the first skew that it makes, it gives them, she has a feeling of being overlooked, being a victim of the society, being a victim of men, being a victim of her circumstances. Everything is a problem but her. And again, I say this, and I want to bring this out at the very beginning. The issue is not strong women, because strong women, God uses strong women. Deborah was a strong woman.
Can we all say amen on that?
We want to be very, very careful. And I'm looking at you right now. We want to be very, very careful not to kill the gifted in misunderstanding what is really going on in the Jezebel spirit. The Jezebel spirit is about somebody who takes the strength that God has given them, misuses it to harm other people, to gain prominence, to gain position, to gain authority, at the expense of other people's lives, perhaps at the expense of other people's callings, at the expense of other people's anointings, and certainly at the expense of other people's emotions.
So, a Jezebel can also be represented in a man.
Right. A Jezebel can come to a man, but the man cannot live with that spirit for very long. Literally, it causes heart issues, heart problems, heart attacks, and various heart ailments that take place in the man. The man, if they're going to go that way, typically will take on an Absalom spirit.
Oh.
So they cry out, justice. I will give you justice. You're not getting justice. You deserve something better than you're getting. I can get that for you. That's what an Absalom spirit does. But the Jezebel spirit, Absalom tries to set up his own kingdom by taking down all the kings. Jezebel tries to set up her own kingdom through the kings that exist to use and manipulate them.
Okay. They become Ahabs, right?
And so, well, the kings become Ahabs because they want something that they've tried before. Usually an Ahab, a man who has the similarities that Ahab has, that man has tried to have authority before, has tried to exert authority before, failed at that, and now realizes for him to get where he wants to go, he needs somebody else to do what he can't do. Mm-hmm. And he sees she has that ability to do that.
So I think you should say that again, because men who are manipulated by this demonic spirit, the Jezebel spirit, their motivation is to take down the king.
Right.
Mm. But for the women, it is to come up beside the king and to control the king.
And in the book, I tell three or four examples of the idea that as this advances in this advanced format, then what ends up happening, they actually think that they can become the king's wife, the leader's wife, the head's wife. Mm-hmm. And the wife then ends up, through prayer, carnal prayer, and through other occultic measures as they mature, the wife ends up getting sick, the wife ends up having illnesses, the wife ends up being weak, the wife ends up, things begin to happen to the wife, because what happens, the king or the leader and the Jezebel come into an agreement, and there's power in agreement. They come into an agreement through their union, and then the wife ends up receiving the brunt of that. Now, that can change with repentance, that can change with recognition, and it has. I know pastors that have recognized what was going on and stopped that. But if it's not caught, if it's not exposed, then the problem can be severe.
I remember early days when we were in Montgomery, Alabama, there was a woman that operated with this, and that was before I really even had an understanding. And it was exactly as you say, it was that control, it was that manipulation, and to get close to whoever God was anointing for that season. They really want to be close to that.
Right.
That's important. Why is that?
Well, they have a dream of what they want to become, and they realize that, well, let me back up. They have a dream of what they want to become, and they have fears that have to be overcome. So control and manipulation are used to overcome the fear. That way I can't get hurt if I'm in control of everything. Mm. I can't be wounded if I'm in control of everything. Mm. I may not be able to get there on my own because, after all, I'm just a woman. That's what they'll kind of say. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, they will exert their influence to set up their own kingdom through the attachment mm-hmm. that they make. Mm-hmm. And so they'll decry, I'm just a woman, but at the same time they attach themselves to the leader or to what we call the king.
Yes, and do they even realize that they're being controlled or manipulated by the spirit most of the time?
Most of the time they do not recognize
Most of the time they would not even have any idea.
They would not have any idea.
Kendra, we were talking mm-hmm. about that, you know, and I don't care what work environment that you're in. I mean, and even maybe more so in a Christian work environment, you're going to have pockets of this to pop up. Why is that?
Well, in the Christian environment, you have prophetic people who can expose mm-hmm. them. Their greatest fear is an exposure. Yeah. Because if they see through me, they can see what's going on in me, then they can stop me from my goal. Mm. So then what happens is I have to downgrade. I have to remove the prophetic voice, remove their favor. I have to remove their believability. I have to get people to turn against the prophetic voice so that if they did spot who I am, then nobody will believe them. If I can remove the believability, I can put them down. I can, you know, and they do it demurely. Like we need to pray for John Paul. We need to pray for him because he's not as spiritual as he was.
They come in a spiritual
format. Yeah. Yes,
can you truly be a Christian and have a Jezebel spirit?
You can at the beginning. But at the moment where it becomes, as it says to the church in Thyatira in Revelation 2, I gave her time to repent. Yes, you can, because repentance is there. Mm-hmm. But she would not. Therefore, at the moment it becomes malicious.
Yeah.
And so it's not just a little bit of manipulation. It is, whatever happens to anybody along the way are just casualties. They deserve what they're going to get, and I'm going to become what I'm called to be because everything will be better if I'm in control.
Right.
So they justify the pain that they cause because of what I'm going to do when I get in power.
Right, and because they feel like they're aligning themselves for some so-called righteous cause.
Right.
Yes, yeah, so in their mind, it's a righteous cause.
Yeah, and it's a righteous cause, so it doesn't matter all of the calamity, mm-hmm. even though it's not scriptural at all what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
You've encountered this and dealt with this?
Yeah, several times. Yeah, and I guess the question that I have is, I mean, obviously, I don't think that person would realize that they're being selfish because they're so wrapped up in their motive and being in power and control. But say that you are in that sort of situation where you see Jezebel spirit, flag, 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 help, help, mm-hmm. you know, and you go to your leadership and you try to expose that, but nothing's done. What would you say that individual should do from that point on? What would be their next step?
You know, that becomes the hard part. And basically, it comes to this. When you see that the malicious behavior is embraced by the leadership, then you have to leave.
Okay.
You see, the malicious behavior is embraced by the leadership. Then you know that if I confront the leadership anymore, mm-hmm. that whether it's in your business or in the political system or whatever, you have to back out and say, you know what, there's nothing I can do here, and I can't be a part of what's going to happen here either.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And that's hard to hear.
It is hard to hear. What in this whole issue, when it talks, I gave her time to repent, and she would not. Basically, God says, I'm about to bring judgment.
Mm-hmm. You don't want to be there when that comes down.
You don't want to be there when that happens.
It's just like in the New Testament where he says, you know, once you understand the truth and you still don't repent, then I'll turn you over to your own reprobate mind.
Yes, exactly. Romans 1.
It's kind of like you've brought this on, and well, now it's going to happen.
And that's one of the things you have to be careful of when you are in leadership, because they will sound an alarm that will so mortify you for the moment where you think, oh, there's destruction and they're going to do this or that or the other. But in reality, as a leader, if you're not willing to stand up and expose that and say, no, this is not right, then in the end you're going to pay a higher price than whatever you feel for that moment of dismay.
Hold that thought. Hold that thought. You're listening to the NFI Radio Gospel Network, To Beat the Odds. Hosting this morning's broadcast on To Beat the Odds is Evangelist Joni Tabletop. We'll be right back with more of this awesome discussion. Is there a Jezebel spirit in the church? Feel free to give us a call at any time during this conversation of this awesome panel of men and women at 347-215-8049 for your question or comment. That's 347-215-8049. We'll be right back with this awesome panel right after this.
In HD2. Come on in. We've been expecting you. Catch the wave.
This is Michael Booker from Greensboro, North Carolina. And you're listening to the NFI Radio Gospel Network in Raleigh, North Carolina. Catch the wave.
Welcome back to Beat the Odds, the number one talk show here on the NFI Radio Gospel Network. This morning's host is Evangelist Joni Tabletop. And you can call in at any time to ask your question or make a comment at 347-215-8049. Again, that number, 347-215-8049. And now, let's get back with this awesome topic this morning. Is there a Jezebel in the church? And now, here is Evangelist Joni Tabletop.
As a leader, if you're not willing to stand up and expose that and say, no, this is not right, then in the end, you're going to pay a higher price than whatever you feel for that moment of dismay.
Right. See, Ahab wasn't willing to expose it. Elijah came to him. He confronted Elijah. Elijah said, okay, then it's not going to rain here for 3.5 years or until I say it's going to rain again. Mm-hmm. And even after Elijah went to Mount Carmel, and they had the great shootout, I call it, you know, where the two altars, and we're going to see who's God's God.
Right.
Even after that, Ahab wouldn't repent. He just went to Jezebel and said, oh, by the way, Jezebel, that's such a sad thing. He just killed 850 of your prophets, 450 prophets of Asheroth and 400 prophets of Baal, and they're all dead, and Elijah did it. And so in essence, what are you going to do, Jezebel? Mm. So Ahab still didn't turn. Even when God sent down fire from heaven, the Ahab didn't turn from his evil ways.
I cannot even imagine what he was thinking, that he could have been so deceived. So how do we look out for this spirit? Those possessed by it believe they are never wrong, think they are the only ones that matter, and if anyone seems to threaten their false sense of entitlement, they will go after them. Sound familiar? Ooh. Sounds familiar for me. Well, Jezebel might be in your midst, so how do we spot it? And more importantly, how do we handle them? I want to say right at the front that we love everyone. And one of the things I said during the break is that, you know, if not the grace of God in all of our lives, we could all fall prey to this.
Right.
So it's not like we're sitting here pointing a finger. We're saying we need to all be aware that if we don't use wisdom, if we don't stay healthy, if we don't keep the right attitude, the fruits of the Spirit, and our motivation be to help people, that we could fall into this. Yeah. You could fall into it.
Absolutely. And as I said, our gift, within our gift lies a seed of our own demise. That coin can flip in a heartbeat. Mm-hmm. And a Jezebel spirit can ensue. With men, it's more likely to be an Absalom spirit, but in a heartbeat. Mm-hmm. We can feel like we're the one to bring salvation to everybody because nobody else is doing it. We're the Savior of the nation.
And we want to know about it because we don't want to enable somebody else who is operating in that realm.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the characteristics, and then how do we handle, you know, Kendra, you ask a situation where we're having to deal with someone in the workplace and maybe leadership doesn't see. I can attest to the fact that I did not always see everything, you know, with 300 employees, you know, that goes on. But in time, God reveals and shows you those things. But characteristics, let's talk about to increase favor, zeroing in on those in charge.
Yes.
That's important, and latching on to them.
Right, because if I have a pain mechanism that I'm trying to avoid, if I have a fear mechanism, then the more control I have, the less likely I am to be hurt. Therefore, if I go up the ladder and have more and more and more control, then I won't be hurt by anybody. In fact, I can do all the hurting.
You can do the hurting, yes.
Wow. To appear spiritual. And seek recognition.
So in order for me to come into a place, the greatest thing that can cause problems to a Jezebel spirit is somebody with a prophetic gift that can see through and discern through the issues that are there. So therefore, I have to appear spiritual to everybody to throw them off of their belief that the prophetic person is right, I'm right. I will gradually put down the prophetic person so I can be raised up as a spiritual leader.
I remember there was a lady here in this area that was a friend of mine, and I found out she was, you know, and this is the thing about it. A lot of times you have someone in your midst and you don't even realize it. And because, you know, I'm very trusting, you know, help me, Lord. But anyway, I found out this lady that, you know, was supposed to be my friend was going around and calling my friends and saying, you know, we really need to pray for Johnny.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, she may not be seeing this. And the Lord has been showing me this
mm-hmm.
and that and the other. And we
right.
And so the friends called me and said, like, did you know that? And I
you,
was
did you
so.
Know you need prayer?
And those were friends.
Shocked.
Only a friend would do
yeah,
that.
Yeah, only a friend. But is that like a key characteristic?
It's a key characteristic. It's
when
triangulate.
They go around you and
sure.
over you
mm.
to try to.
Oh, wow.
They triangulate. They can turn person A and person C against you and
yeah.
make them the only one. Person C says, this is the only friend I have. Person A says, I'm the only friend they have,
mm-hmm.
and you're not.
Mm-hmm.
See, and so I tell person A,
wow.
hey, Joni feels this way, this way, this way. And
yeah.
person B, oh, did you know that Joni feels this way and this way about you? And now
yeah.
all of a sudden, everybody's against Joni. I'm the hero.
Chances are, sooner or later, you'll encounter opposition known as the Jezebel spirit. When a person is under the influence of this demonic spirit, they become troublesome manipulators and thieves. Some of the chief characteristics of the Jezebel spirit are trying to usurp a leadership position in a church, in a ministry, in a prayer group, or in other such organizations. But also, one of the characteristics is that the person under the influence of a Jezebel spirit has a seducing spirit and is very lustful and can tempt somebody into gross sin and error through seduction, fornication, or adultery.
Both the Old Testament and New Testament Jezebel were sexually seductive. Now the word manipulate means to control or influence unfairly or unscrupulously. It just means a wrong type of control or influence in sexual, okay? And I've had women in our congregation try to sexually seduce me or to flirt with me or something like that. A pastor that is now in our church in Amarillo who was a pastor and he fell morally, he told me that his assistant became very seductive with him. He had sex with her, and as soon as he had sex, she began to threaten him. And she seduced him sexually, and then she began to threaten him of what she was going to tell the church if he didn't hire her sister and promote her mother and do this and this and this and this. So he said, I lived in the constant fear of what she was going to do if I didn't do everything that she said because of that. And one of the dangers that we have today in our world is young girls are being taught to use their bodies to manipulate sexually.
The Jezebel spirit is embarrassingly self-centered and demands to be the center of attention. It's almost impossible for a person ruled by the spirit to take a back seat. So it's inevitable that they'll be calculating, pushy, domineering, insubordinate, and they'll stoop to using flattery as a means to an end. And by the way, a person under the influence of a Jezebel spirit will be very capable of giving prophecies, prognostications, visions, and dreams. And that's why we have to be so very discerning.
Impurity doesn't begin in the heart. It begins in the eye. Impurity doesn't begin in the heart. It begins in the eye. David saw Bathsheba, and she was bathing. Okay, here's what I want to know. How long did he look? He could have gone back in and began praying. He probably went back in and got binoculars. Adultery for David began with the eye. He saw something that he shouldn't have looked at, and he kept looking. Now here's what I've learned. I've had to discipline myself in this area. Two simple words. Very, very. This will help you, I promise you. Don't look. Don't look. Look away. Because I'm capturing a memory. And I'm comparing. God never, never intended me to compare my wife with any other woman. So just don't look. And I've spent years now training myself to look away. Here's the lie of the enemy. I'll look, but I won't touch. Let me tell you something. Window shopping doesn't work in this area. Does not work. Let me read you some verses. Psalm 101, verse 3. I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. What would that say about some of the movies you watch? I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. Proverbs 27, 20. Hell and destruction are never full, so the eyes of a man are never satisfied. Look at Matthew 5. I'm telling you, lust begins with a look. Listen to me carefully. I'm going to show it to you in the Bible. This is a famous verse, and maybe you've never seen it, but watch this. Matthew 5, verse 28. This is Jesus. Matthew 5, 28. But I say to you that whoever, what? Looks. Whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. And watch the very next verse. If your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. That's Jesus talking.
The Jezebel spirit is a despicable and demonic force that every believer in Jesus must learn to recognize. We must learn to resist it and to throw it down spiritually in prayer and by anointed decrees from our legal position in Messiah.
Impurity will affect your relationship with God. It's amazing to me that men think that they can have a good relationship with God and still have sexual impurity in their life. And I believed it. I was in bondage. I was deceived. You need to understand, if you have sexual impurity in your life, you are deceived. You have deception in your life. You're deceived. Now, let me explain to you a little bit about sexual impurity and what it does that is so horrible. In order to have any type of sexual impurity in your life, you have to open the door to a host of other sins as well. You also have lying in your life. Because you have sexual impurity, you have to lie. You also have deception. You also have manipulation. You also have control. You also have fear. You also have doubt. You doubt that God can meet your needs. You also have unbelief. You don't believe what the Bible says about it. You open yourself up to a family of spirits. It's a family. Now, again, listen to me. I'm not talking down to you. I have been there. I have been immoral. I have fallen in this area as a believer. I have been restored scripturally. I am not speaking down to you. I know what it's like to be in bondage. And I'm going to tell you something. Every sexually immoral person is a liar. You can't be sexually immoral and not be a liar. What's the first thing that David did when he was in adultery? He lied. And then he murdered. So you're going to open yourself up to all sorts of spirits. Now, here's the problem. Here's the deception. In order to be sexually impure, you have to sneak around to do it. You have to sneak around. If you were sexually impure before you got married as a teenager, you snuck around. You did not. It wasn't in the open. Your parents didn't say to you when you were leaving, where y'all going tonight? We're going to have sex. Okay, great. Be home by 11. You lied about where you were. Where were you? Where'd y'all go tonight? We went to bowling alley. You learned to lie. You learned to be deceptive. You learned to sneak around. But here's something that many of us don't understand. You develop an appetite that God never intended you to develop. You develop an appetite for sneaking around sex. That's why a lot of men right now have a problem with pornography and masturbation, because it is something fun that excites them that they have to sneak around to do. And they have an appetite from when they were a teenager that they developed, and they try to satisfy that appetite. And listen to me, it can never be satisfied. It can never be satisfied. So you develop an appetite for sneaking around sex. You have to sneak around, and you get butterflies in your stomach, and the adrenaline gets to rushing, just like if you snuck out of the house when you were a teenager, that feeling of waiting for the parents to go to sleep and crawling out the window or however you did it, but you get an adrenaline rush. But God never intended you to associate with this with the sex in this way, all right? So what happens is, you develop an appetite for sneaking around sex. And then if you're impure with the woman you marry, when you do have sex before marriage, you have that feeling. I've been asked before by couples, believing couples, Christians, have said to me, if we really love each other, and we're not doing things with other people, but we really love each other, but we're in college and we're waiting until we get our degrees to get married, but we're going to get married, we're going to be faithful to each other, what difference does a piece of paper make? Here's my answer. A piece of paper makes no difference at all. None. What makes a difference is the blessing of God. That's what makes a difference. And you get out of God's order. Here's what happens. When you have premarital sex, you develop an appetite for sneaking around. This is why, listen to me carefully, this is why men will begin flirting. This is why a man will begin flirting with a woman at the office. You know why? Because he is sneaking around. And he has an appetite that God never intended him to develop. And he'll begin flirting, and then he'll think, I'm not going to commit adultery, but, you know, just a little kiss here or hug there. And he'll begin to sneak around with this woman. Now, listen to me. Here's the problem. Really loves his wife. Fell in love with his wife, but fell in love with her and associated love with this sneaking around feeling. So he begins sneaking around now with another woman, and he begins to feel about her. Are y'all following me? He begins to feel about her the way he used to feel about his wife. And this is why, by the way, men will say to their wives after they get married, see, once you get married, you don't have to sneak around anymore. This is why men will say, let's watch a movie, or let's look at this, or let's do this, and they'll begin to try to bring impurity into the marriage because they have a sneaking around feeling that they're not doing anymore, they're not satisfying anymore. But it still doesn't satisfy. It's an appetite, listen to me carefully, that can never be satisfied.
And so born-again believers have authority to throw down and cast out the Jezebel spirit.
Oh, that would wear me out, yeah. All that energy.
It actually energizes the Jezebel because they receive energy. They're more extroverted in nature, so they receive energy from that human contact.
Okay, here's a false humility.
False humility, because that way I can seem to be humble, I can seem to be contrite, because that's spirituality. So I can act like, oh, well, you know, it's really nothing.
But it's hard for them to hide that.
On a long-term basis, it's very hard to hide that, but short-term it's not. And what their hope is that before anybody discovers them, they will have entrenched themselves, and their roots will go out and touch everybody, being entangled in the entire environment before the fruit is discovered.
And this is the Antichrist.
This is one.
It's that spirit.
It is. This is the one that when you said about those that operate with the prophetic gifting really recognize, because a Jezebel spirit has impure motives.
Right. Truth is more than fact. Fact is fact, but truth includes motive for saying the fact. And so even in the book of Revelation, when it talks about Thyatira, Jezebel spirit in that church, it said two things that is really important right here. One is, I place no other burden on you than to get rid of this woman. No other burden. Now, none of the other churches had only one burden.
Wow.
They all had several issues they were supposed to deal with. But they had one thing, get rid of the spirit who seeks to control, who seeks to lead, who seeks authority, who seeks power. And if you do, I will give you authority. I will give you power amongst the nations. Then it goes on and it says this. And it says, because I judge the thoughts and the intents of the heart. I alone. And so what he's saying is, though there may be some level of gifting in this person, I know the motivation behind what they're saying.
All right. Hold that thought. We are right at 10 minutes after the hour, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. You're listening to Beat the Odds, the number one talk show here on the NFI Radio Gospel Network. We'll be right back with your host, Evangelist Joni Tabletop, with this awesome panel on this morning's topic, Is There a Jezebel in the Church? We'll be right back right after this.
You're tuned into this stellar award-winning internet radio station.
You're at the right place at the right time.
The NFI coming to you live from Raleigh, North Carolina.
Yo. Hold up. Wait just a minute.
On your radio. Yo.
Keep it locked right here.
Showcase fellowship inspired. Showcase fellowship inspired.
Well, today we are exposing the characteristics of the Jezebel spirit and learning how to recognize the signs that someone is operating in that spirit. We've talked about several of them. Kendra, you wanted to ask specifically about this one.
I did. I wanted to ask about the characteristic when their words are the only words that matter.
Their words.
Right. No one else's.
Right. In essence, my word has become the equivalent of God. Therefore, it's equal to Scripture. And so that's, in essence, what they're saying. They may not want to admit that, but that's, in essence, the position that they're taking. So no matter what other prophetic person speaks, I've heard from God. They have not. No matter what other pastoral voice has input, I've heard from God. You haven't. You're not as spiritual as I am.
Yeah.
I am at the peak of spirituality. You need to listen to what God says to me.
No accountability,
because the only person I can be accountable to is God.
The marriage and family life. It's shaky, right.
And lots of times what you'll find out in the Jezebel spirit, they are married to an Ahab. And so the Ahab ends up having something that they want. They have wanted Naboth's vineyard. So Jezebel says, I'll get it for you. She hires a group of people to spread lies about Naboth. They end up stoning Naboth. Ahab gets Naboth's vineyard, which is what he wanted. And Jezebel gets a higher rule, and the land becomes afraid of her.
Wow. Preying on the weak-minded and gathering a following.
Right. What happens is very much like a wolf. They will hunt in packs, but what they do is they seek out the weakest person, the person that has a background that says, I'm afraid to make a decision. Mm. And the Jezebel says, I'll make your decision for you. You don't really know what to do spiritually. I can help you.
So they kind of travel in packs.
So they can travel in packs, but they want to gravitate a pack around them too. So if I can get other weak people to follow me, I can become their voice. I can become their thought. I can think for you.
One of the things that we were talking about during the break is that there are pastors' wives who have been affected.
Right.
Speak to those if. Pastor's wives, if you would, just a moment. I really believe the Lord has something he wants to say to you today.
A lot of pastor's wives will go through this because what happens is the Jezebel spirit will start praying against you. They will start asking others to pray against you. They will get on the telephone and they'll begin to say things like, you need to pray. Let's say your husband's name is George. And perfectly, there's nobody out there with the name of George like this, but just say George. So they'll call and they'll say, call a person and say, you and I, we need to form an agreement to pray for George because George is going through a very difficult time and is having trouble discerning what to do. So they'll start praying together and they'll build up a prayer chain and a prayer event. Nothing is intercession. It's absolutely important. In fact, it is what probably will save the pastor's wife, save you if you have a great intercessory prayer group. But what ends up happening is this unholy strategy then allows them to form a power of agreement against you. And now all of a sudden, they go from praying that you would become more spiritual and have more insight, they begin to praying that, well, you're actually holding your husband back. We need to pray because so-and-so is holding their husband back. They're becoming a weight around the neck of their husband. So we need to pray that somehow God would just kind of take her out of the way so their husband can kind of raise to the top. And then it progresses from there, and it's hard to believe, but it's happened countless number of times where they actually pray, you know what? What needs to happen is the wife needs to die so that I can take my place alongside of this great man of God, and he and I can form a holy golden union, and a seed, a righteous seed, a child will come out of this, and that child will be the greatest revelatory or prophetic or apostolic voice on the face of the earth. Now, it sounds exaggerated, but that literally is how the thinking goes, hundreds and hundreds of times.
That is such deception around everything you just said. I mean,
yes.
For anyone who knows Scripture, everything you just said, for people to think that way,
yeah.
is just...
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't start out that way. It
yeah.
starts out very, very demure.
Yeah.
You know, we need to pray because the pastor's wife just isn't as spiritual as she used to be.
Well, such an exhausting topic, unmasking the Jezebel spirit. I want to encourage you to get John Paul's book to learn more about what we've talked about today. We're out of time. Thank you, ladies. Thank you, John Paul, for talking about this very
Thank
important
you.
Subject. And I want to say to those of you listening, listen, God has not given us the spirit of fear.
No.
So this is not anything to be fearful about. And we mentioned earlier the blood of Jesus is stronger than any of this.
Amen.
And so do not be afraid, but do be informed. And if you need prayer today, or if your pastor's wife is going through something like this, or your pastor or someone you know and love, then call and let us pray for them today. Prayer is so, so very important.
Prayer is so important. And we want to thank you for tuning in this wonderful Monday morning on To Beat the Odds here from the NL5 Studios. Well, those of you, if you would love to call in for more information on the Jezebel spirit, feel free to give us a call here at 347-215-8049. Again, that number, 347-215-8049. Is there a Jezebel in the church? All right, well, there you have it. Look, thank you again. Be sure to tune in every Monday, 9:30 a.m.
Everybody come on and clap your hands. Put your hands together. Let's go down memory lane for a little while. Sing a little song that I sung in yesteryear. Went something like this.
This is Elder Carrie Harris, pastor of Word of Deliverance Ministries out of Raleigh, North Carolina. Come join us on Tuesdays at 1 o'clock on the NFI Gospel Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Pastor Wilson with True Community Church in Silas City, North Carolina. You're listening to the NFI Radio Gospel Network in Raleigh, North Carolina. Catch the wave.
I will trust in the Lord all my days, I will trust in the Lord all my days, and I will be satisfied with you, I will be satisfied with you, and I will be satisfied with you. Said I will be satisfied with you. Yeah. Say
I will trust
in the Lord,
in the Lord,
all my days.
All my days.
Yeah.
All my days.
Said
I will trust
in the Lord,
in the Lord,
all my days.
All my days.
All my days. Tell me to go right, I will be satisfied. Whatever you tell me to do, I'm satisfied. Come on, lift it up, I will be satisfied. Hey, Lord, I am
satisfied.
Whatever may come, oh God, I'm
satisfied.
Oh Lord, oh Lord, I'm
satisfied.
Yeah. And where you lead, I trust your word. You have complete control. I will be satisfied with you.
said, where you lead, I'll go. Said, I will trust your word, yeah. You have complete control. I will be satisfied with you. Said, where you lead, I'll go. See, it's telling you the old and the new. I will trust you. This is all it is. It's a big argument going on. Is you have complete control. It's the same thing. Said, I will be. Where you lead, where you lead. Said, I will trust your. You have complete control of. Said, I will be there.
Keep it locked. The hottest mix ever. 50,000 watts of power. 50,000 watts of praise. You're listening to
NFI coming to you live from Raleigh, North Carolina, in the studio of the NFI Gospel Network.
Today's inspiration was Gospel Throwback.
On the NFI Radio Gospel Network in Raleigh, North Carolina. Catch the wave.
Catch the wave on the NFI.
Lord, I need a miracle. Lord, I need a miracle. Stretch and say, Lord, have Dana. I need a miracle.
Bring it down.
I decree and declare. Dr. D.K. Gregg used to say, when I was a young man, if you hold out and hang in there, I got a feeling in the midst of everything you're going through, that everything, help is on the way. If you hang in there and hold out, it's gonna be all right, baby. It's gonna open the window. Bring the change up. Let the light in. It's gonna be all right. Open up the window. You're coming out of depression. You're coming out of stagnation. You're coming out.
to know who got all power. Help me say, Jesus. The name of Jesus. There's something about the name of Jesus. It's the sweetest, sweetest name. It's the sweetest, sweetest name. He kept talking about Jesus. Bishop told us. Bishop told us. He's a miracle, miracle worker. He's a miracle, miracle worker. He's a healer. He's a healer. The reason I know my auntie came down with the COVID-19 virus. No time to get on the phone, no time to get on Facebook. I went down on my knees, I went down on my knees. I called on Jesus, guess what, y'all? God healed her. I said, thank you, right now.
If it's something hot you want, then it's something hot you'll get.
Here we go. Prank phone call.
Hey, we got, you know, we're going to try to do something for, you know, like Lil Darryl.
Okay, Lil Darryl.
Yeah.
Okay, let's try it. Here we go. We're going to call. I'm going to go ahead and dial a number now.
Okay.
Yo. Hey, dog. What up?
Huh?
Hey, who this is?
Who this is?
Hey, wait. What up, dog?
Huh?
Hey, dog, can I holler at you for a second, player?
Who it is?
Hey, check this out, dog. I ain't trying to be fun or bust your bubble or nothing, dog.
Who?
Hey, dog. Hey, dog, it's my girl over there, dog.
Who it is?
Hey, dog, it's my girl over there, man.
Huh?
Hey, dog, it's my girl over there, man. Hey, dog, I know. Tell her I love her, dog. I synced over your crib, dog. What happened, though? I ain't trying to call your house with no mess or nothing, dog.
Hey, I believe you got the wrong number,
no,
man.
No, dog. Who this is? This Melvin, dog.
Yeah.
I got the right number, dog. I found your number in her purse, dog. Hey, dog. Check this out.
Wait a minute. Who is your girl?
Lestine, dog.
Who?
Lestine, dog. You know my girl name, dog.
Lestine.
Hey, dog. Check this out. Tell my girl to come home, man.
I don't even know her, man.
Check, dog, I seen her in your car, dog.
In my car? I ain't even got no car.
Well, whoever car y'all was in, dog, this is all I need to know, Mel. My good, dog.
No, home,
dog,
you got
check,
the wrong
dog,
one.
No, dog, you the dude, dog.
No, you got the wrong one.
You ever seen a dude in a green Cadillac ride up and down your street?
Green Cadillac?
See, I see you, dog. You don't be seeing me, dog. My girl just straight up be disrespecting me, dog. I ain't trying to have it, dog. Tell her to come home, dog.
No, man, I'm at my mama's house. I don't even know what's happening.
Check this out. I live with my mama now, too, dog.
I don't know what's happening, though. Who it is?
Dog,
you still ain't told me who you was.
Hey, dog.